Hey everyone, and welcome to the Situation Remedy Podcast. I am Pastor Royce Warren King Sr., and today we begin the Becoming a Leader series by Dr. Miles Monroe. Preface: good leadership is indispensable. I believe that trapped inside you is an undiscovered leader of great value to your generation. Are leaders born, made, developed, created, cultivated, or products of circumstances? Is leadership reserved only for an elite few, a specific gender, people of a particular social stratum, or those of advanced intelligence? Is leadership the prerogative of a rare breed? Is it a byproduct of the superior DNA of a super race? Or can anyone from anywhere at any time emerge as a leader? In some form, these questions have been around for thousands of years. This book is written to challenge the limitations of your conception of your abilities and hopefully ignite in you the conviction that you were born to lead. The world is filled with followers, supervisors, and managers, but very few leaders. History has produced a legacy of distinguished and outstanding leaders who have impacted the world and furthered the development of humanity. They were both men and women, rich and poor, learned and unlearned, trained and untrained. They came from every race, color, language, and culture of the world. Many of them had no ambition to become great or renowned. In fact, most of the individuals who have greatly affected humanity have been simple people who were thrust into circumstances that demanded the hidden qualities of their characters, or they were driven by personal, passionate goals. Leaders are extraordinary people who accept or are placed under extraordinary circumstances that bring forth their latent potential, producing character that inspires the confidence and trust of others. Our world today is in desperate need of such individuals. In this renowned play, Julius Caesar, William Shakespeare wrote, "There is a tide in the affairs of men." With these words, he was expressing his observation that the waves of history have an influence on our lives. It's as if we as individuals and nations are caught up in a tide of providential events. There have been eras in the history of the world in which multiple tide-like influences have impacted our civilizations and cultures at nearly the same time. These historical incidents are known as crossroads of history. I would suggest that we are now at a confluence of historic tides. The 20th century saw perhaps more distressing developments than any previous century, including devastating wars, monstrous new weapons, countless natural disasters, and fatal diseases. It was also possibly the most unpredictable, politically interesting, and revolutionary of any century in history. In the last several decades, a relatively short span of time, the world has experienced many remarkable changes in the realms of science, technology, medicine, and space exploration, as well as hundreds of other so-called advancements. We must agree that our generation lives in a swirling tide of events, dreams, promises, threats, and changing tides about the present and the future. The conditions of our world press the present generation to ask anew, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Why are life and reality the way they are? The leaders of our time are bewildered when they are called upon to explain why our world is the way it is, or to suggest a direction for the future. Many people in positions of public trust confess that they are just trying to keep the lid on, and others have abandoned even that hope. Added to this bleak environment in the painful reality that over the past few decades, a dramatic leadership vacuum seems to have developed throughout the world. In nearly every realm, there is an absence of quality, effective leadership. In the political, civic, economic, social, and spiritual realms, recent events indicate that previous generations have produced weak leaders who fade in the presence of true leadership and leave our present generation in this same leadership vacuum. The disgrace and fall of renowned Christian leaders, the exposure of corruption and unethical activities among political and business leaders, and the covert conspiracies of governments betraying their own people serve as evidence that this lack of quality leadership is affecting almost every sphere of our lives. We urgently need competent leaders. Where do we look for such leaders? While we often think of leaders as out there, we need to look within ourselves. Each one of us is a leader who can affect the people and institutions in our own spheres of influence. When we begin with ourselves, we will naturally have an effect on the lives of others. It is in this environment that we, as stewards of this present age, must face the challenge of developing, training, releasing, and reproducing a generation of leaders who can secure the future for our children and their children. Becoming a leader is designed to contribute a solution to this challenge. It is my hope that you will be inspired to respond to the call of destiny and responsibility and to awaken and develop the potential leader within you. A good leader not only knows where he is going, but he can inspire others to go with him. Introduction. Great leaders do not desire to lead, but to serve. There is leadership potential in every person. Despite this universal latent ability, very few individuals realize this power, and fewer still have responded effectively to the call. As a result, our nations, societies, and communities are suffering from an astounding leadership void. Where are the genuine leaders? Where are the individuals who are willing to take responsibility for the present situation and conditions in the world? Who is willing to accept the challenge, to face it head on with integrity, character, and a commitment to execute righteous judgment for a better world? Our homes are crying out for leadership. Our youth are begging for leaders. The church is suffering from an absence of leaders. Our governments are being undermined because of a lack of leaders. Our communities need positive role models. Our children need fathers, and our world needs direction. From America to Australia, from Croatia to the Caribbean, and from Uganda to Uruguay, the world is in desperate need of true leaders. This is not the first time that a dearth of quality, effective leadership has been the norm throughout the world. Yet a quick glance at the historical record shows that during periods when moral, social, economic, spiritual, and political chaos have gripped nations, the greatest leaders have surfaced. The answer to all our problems is qualified, just, and righteous leaders. The biblical record reveals God's demand for quality leaders during times of human crisis. His search for effective leadership is expressed in numerous statements, such as these. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. These and other passages of scriptures indicate that whenever a nation lacks quality, legitimate, and just leaders, nationwide deterioration occurs. However, just as it is impossible for a bitter spring to bring forth sweet water, it is impossible for an unrighteous world to produce righteous leaders or for an unjust system to produce just characteristics. God's remedy for this type of situation is the discovery and raising up of new, trained leaders committed to justice and righteousness. Quality leadership is the key to prosperous and peaceful lives and nations. What makes an individual a leader? Who becomes a leader? When does one become a leader? The essence of leadership is the exercise of influence. The command given to the Christian church by Christ is, Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them the things I have taught you. This is a direct mandate to provide leadership for nations, instructing them to live according to the principles of the kingdom of God. This commission clearly places the responsibility for producing the quality leaders that the world needs upon the shoulders of the church. Yet it is sad that even the church itself is in need of quality leadership. Perhaps part of the reason for this is that the church and its theology have been preoccupied with heaven and preparing individuals to leave the planet, meanwhile forsaking the responsibility of producing quality leaders for the earth today. The responsibility to meet this need is the challenge of our generation, for the sake of the generations to come. By reading this book, you will be responsible for hearing the cry for leaders in your nation, your city, your community, your church, and your family. This book is designed to help you awaken and enhance the potential leader hidden within you so that you can develop and refine your leadership qualities and use them to benefit the world. A true leader is a model for his followers. Called to Lead, Chapter 1. In June 2008, a devastating tornado ripped through a Boy Scout camp in Iowa, killing 4 boys and injuring dozens more. The storm was so sudden that the boys and their leaders were said to have had no chance to escape it. This might have been just a tragic story of heartbreaking loss, yet it became instead a testimony to the power of leadership in the lives of everyday people. Young men no older than 18 demonstrated leadership qualities that prevented a worse scenario and literally saved lives by quickly applying their knowledge of first aid and other crisis response procedures. Not surprisingly, these boys were attending a leadership training camp. While the press hailed them as heroes, they called themselves prepared. The crisis revealed that their leadership training had become a part of them. Their story shows the impact of everyday leaders who are making a difference in their individual spheres of influence. The Great Leadership Misconception. Not everyone would agree with the concept of everyday leaders. The great Greek philosophers, such as Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, considered and explored the dynamics of human behavior and the nature of humanity. A significant portion of their investigation and contemplation focused on the art and dynamics of human social relationships in regard to governing. They addressed the subject of leadership and examined this complex issue in much detail. One of their basic conclusions was that leadership is a product of natural endowment and personality traits. They postulated that one person is born to lead while others are born to follow and be subordinate. For many years now, this concept of leadership has prevailed in numerous schools of thought and has gone unchallenged for the most part. The results have produced a historical global concept that the masses are destined to be ruled by the significant, privileged few, sentenced by fate to their circumstances to live life as dictated. However, time and again, history has presented us with cases that contradict the premise of this perception of leadership and, in many ways, defy the notion that leaders are born. Unlikely leaders. As I wrote in the preface, leaders are extraordinary people who accept or are placed under extraordinary circumstances that bring forth their latent potential, producing character that inspires the confidence and trust of others. There are people who, based on the Greek philosopher's theories, never would have been accepted as leadership material, yet they became some of the greatest leaders in history. Moses, a fugitive from Pharaoh's justice, a murderer and a man who presented every excuse for why he should not be considered for leadership, became the greatest lawgiver in history. Gideon, a coward, was threshing wheat for his father when the call came for him to rise and become the deliverer of his nation. His response to this challenge was, "My clan is the weakest in Israel, my family is poor, and I am the least likely candidate in my family." Yet Gideon became one of the greatest leaders and warriors of his generation. David, an insignificant shepherd boy who was considered the least in his family, has his place in history as the greatest king the nation of Israel has ever produced. Peter, a simple fisherman with an impulsive personality, was catapulted to the position of the first major leader in the early church. Abraham Lincoln had little formal education and an awkward style, yet he went on to become a national leader considered by many to be the greatest president in the United States. Helen Keller was a girl from a small Alabama town who, due to an illness, lost her sight and hearing before she was 2 years old, yet she became an internationally known lecturer, an author of more than 10 books, and a powerful advocate for the rights of the physically disabled. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and her book, The Story of My Life, is still available in over 50 languages. Mother Teresa was an obscure teacher and nun from Macedonia who decided to devote her life to caring for the destitute in India. Yet in her compassion and determination to help others, she became an international leader, served as an inspiration for millions, and was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Everyone can lead. Perhaps lying deep within you, buried by the misconception that only special people are called to the lofty position of leader, is one of the greatest leaders of our time. I believe there is a leader in everyone waiting to serve his or her generation. It is essential that you change your concept of leadership now and see yourself the way your Creator sees you. We are not all the same, but we are all leaders in our own unique way. Why should you become a leader? Because it is the calling of every human being, regardless of age, gender, circumstance, or vocation. It is your calling. The leader within you comes alive when you discover your purpose, your life's vision, and your potential, and when you set out to fulfill them without compromise. It is said of Helen Keller that she became an exceptional leader once she saw the potential in her own mind. Created to lead. Let's consider just one of the signs that we all have the capacity for leadership. Do you remember the last time you were ordered to do something? Can you recall the natural inclination deep within you to resist the demand, even though you may have cooperated? This natural desire to rebel against orders can be seen in the smallest child and stays with many people throughout their lives. As adults, we have developed sophisticated behavior mechanisms to regulate and control this urge. What is the source of this desire to resist the spirit of domination? Why do we resent being told what to do? Of course, friendly and willing cooperation among members of families, organizations, companies, churches, and countries is good, healthy, and necessary for these entities to be able to function and accomplish their goals. When I talk about a tendency to resist control, I am not referring to a person resisting collaboration and teamwork, but to his or her frustration at being dominated. Those who do not understand their inherent value in the world essentially live their lives at the whims or mercy of others instead of pursuing the purpose and visions given to them by their Creator. This lack of understanding can lead to a perpetual sense of frustration, hopelessness, or apathy. Many people are frustrated and angry because they feel they have no involvement in the progress and well-being of their lives. To recognize the difference between true leadership and domination, we must go back to the beginning, the creation of humanity. The biblical record tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and fashioned everything to sustain life. In the first book authored by Moses, we find these words. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In these statements lies the heart of the purpose of human beings, creation, and the key to their leadership nature. To understand yourself, you must understand three truths established in these words. God created us in his image and likeness. These words connote his authority, his character, and his moral and spiritual nature. Power and rulership are part of God's nature. He is the king and ruler of the universe. Therefore, since man was made in God's image, deeply embedded in the nature of man is the spirit of rulership and authority. The Creator breathed his own life into human beings, further imparting his own nature to them. God established man's role and function in relationship to the earth by stating, "Let them rule, have dominion over all the earth." The above declaration confirms God's ordination of the following principles. God created man to rule or to have dominion over the earth. God gave dominion over the earth to both male and female. Male and female were created to dominate and not to be dominated. Human beings are meant to rule according to God's nature and spirit. God never gave people the authority to dominate one another. The male is not to dominate the female and vice versa. God specified what humans were to rule or have dominion over, the earth and creation. These principles are fundamental to our very nature and fulfillment. If we were created for the purpose of rule or dominion, then we were designed to fulfill this purpose and will not be personally satisfied until we do. We must also have a clear understanding of what it means to have dominion. The idea of dominion has different shades of meaning, which include ruling, managing, controlling, dictating, subjecting, influencing, leading, keeping under control, governing, commanding, mastering, having power over, and having authority. As we will see, humanity's rulership over the earth also includes the concepts of cultivating and protecting it as its stewards. These words all reflect the concept of leadership, which can be fulfilled in a variety of contexts and describes God's purpose for your life. God created all of us to rule, govern, control, and influence the earth in conjunction with all other human beings. He created all of us to lead. Therefore, there is a leader in everyone waiting to be released. Direct leadership responsibility. You were not created to be dominated. This is why whenever a human being is subjugated by another human being, whether it is by a governing system or forced labor, he has an inevitable desire and will to throw off this unnatural restraint. In God's original purpose and plan, he never intended for there to be some people who are always leaders and others who are always followers or subordinates among men as we know them today. We were all intended to exercise his authority and dominion as a corporate entity on earth, displaying his power, wisdom, influence, and glory. We were designed to be subjected only to God's spirit, who would rule in our hearts and thus establish self-government within them. This principle is seen in God's assignment to the first man in the Garden of Eden. His first instruction to the man was to work or cultivate. This assignment was not accompanied by any supervisors, managers, or bosses to oversee the man's responsibilities. He was accountable only to God. His accountability for the task assigned him was directly to God and not to another man. Some may say that Adam was directly accountable to God merely because he was the only man living on the earth at the time. Yet this aspect of direct leadership responsibility was also implied 2,500 years later in God's promise to deliver the people of Israel from Egyptian slavery and bring them into the promised land. "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." Yet even though they were meant to live directly under God as his own people, and even after they were given their freedom from slavery, these Israelites seemed to feel the need for human domination over them in order to function. They eventually cried out for a human king, and God's response to their request was a surprise. He attempted to discourage them from setting up a human ruler and declared his desire to be the direct authority in their lives. Tragically, they did not listen. The Lord told Samuel the prophet, "It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." After the Israelites' insistence on having a human king, God granted them their request, but strongly warned them of the dangerous consequences of having another man dominate their capacity for leadership. It is important to note that this does not imply and should not be taken to mean that God designed human beings to have a chaotic society without accountability to each other or without subjection to authority. On the contrary, God is a God of excellence, and He created everything to function in decency and order. Finally, the book of Revelation expresses the fact that leadership responsibility is the Creator's permanent purpose for humanity. Those who serve Him will reign forever and ever. Each person is meant to fulfill a unique role. Each person is meant to fulfill his unique part in the whole, each being responsible for leadership in his sphere of assignment and accountable ultimately to God the Creator. In other words, each of us was created to be a leader led by the Spirit of God. No one is to lord it over others or prevent them from maximizing their potential. However, man, both male and female, rebelled against his direct accountability to God and disobeyed him. The result was that the Spirit of God, who had been breathed into man at creation, could not remain with man's spirit. In rejecting God, man left himself at the mercy of his external environment. Over the centuries, although the Creator still worked in the lives of those who sought and responded to Him, this lack of protection eventually led to the establishment of external governments in order to restrain humanity from unchecked abuse of power and authority. Consequently, an unnatural relationship of leader and follower, ruler and ruled, master and mastered was established. Evidence of this interruption in God's purpose and plan for each human being to exercise leadership is underscored in the pronouncements He made to the first man and woman after they disobeyed His word. To the woman, He said, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, He said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food." Here we see the reversal of the order of dominion and authority. Instead of both male and female ruling and dominating the earth together, as God originally commanded, the subjection of man over man was introduced. Also, instead of man dominating the earth, as had been established in the beginning, the earth was now poised to dominate man. This relationship is not natural. It goes against our original nature, which was to rule rather than to be ruled. We are all born leaders, designed to lead in the image of our Creator through His Spirit. Although humans interrupted God's plan, instituted for their good, He had a restoration plan for the human race. This plan, effected by Jesus Christ, was to reconcile human beings to their Creator and enable them to receive His Holy Spirit again, thus reestablishing self-government within them so they could fulfill their God-given purposes. Return to your purpose. To become a leader, therefore, you must return to your original purpose. I work with people all over the world in leadership development, yet I have found that people in a variety of nations and cultures share the same obstacles to effective leadership. They don't know who they really are or what their full potential is. There are two ways to discover the leadership purpose that the Creator has put inside you. One, learn it, and two, experience it. This book will give you the opportunities to both learn about leadership and to experience it in your own life. As you commit to the process of becoming a leader, you will be able to discover your true self and bring meaning and fulfillment to your life, develop the gifts and talents you were meant to share with the world, leave a legacy that will be an influence for good even after you are gone. There is a leader in everyone waiting to be released. Will you discover the leader within you?